Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
That was a good clip of Natalie Cuomo.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Dope show.
Glad to be back.
This is a post-Christmas energy.
This month, you going to do this shirt? You going to do this whole show with the coat on?
Nigga, West Side Gun did Fallon with a goddamn bubble coat trench on. I'm doing the same shit. Rap, nigga. It's rap. I got the Montclair on.
Oh, my God. We've created a monster. Welcome back to another Splendiferous.
Splendiferous. After Christmas. Happy holla holla, motherfucker.
Yeah, you can tell this is a post-Christmas show. You come back with a new coat on and not going to take it off.
Tell Virgil, write brick on my brick, nigga.
Wait. So how do you have 8 albums with the same name?
Hitler Wears Hermes 1, just Hitler Wears Hermes 2,
oh,
Hitler Wears Hermes 3,
yeah,
Hitler
Wears
Hermes 4.
That's different.
And I've listened to all of them. I've listened to all of them all the time.
Are they mixtapes?
I'm old.
I feel old as fuck. Are those mixtapes? He can't have
albums,
the same.
But these motherfuckers were
I'm sure RCA wouldn't come out with the same avocado.
RCA.
I'm sure.
RCA?
Wow. I'm sure the Motown Records wouldn't have been so
RCA?
Mixed, so be so mixed up.
Tommy Boy.
Oh, yeah. Shit, man. That voice you're hearing is our guest for the day, man. Give it up for Seton
Smith,
man.
The one and only Seton Smith.
What's happening, brother?
What's up, man? What's
welcome,
up?
Man. Welcome.
I'm learning. I'm in my own fucking
one
cave.
One of the humble gods.
Shit.
Yeah, yeah. Who should have been here before, man. One of the truly most unapologetic men I've ever met.
Yeah, man.
You know what I mean? I love this guy.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, my shit's not so unapologetic. I'm just like fucking, I don't know, what's the word? I'm not going to apologize for this. I apologize. Like, I go into fucking wormholes.
Yeah, man.
Where I'll be like fucking, oh, shit, are we still here? That kind of shit.
Quantum no sorries.
Yeah.
Quantum realms of fuck you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not apologizing for shit. Quantum levels.
Yes.
I remember one of my first, I'm gonna start this shit off with a Seton story.
Okay.
This is one of the first, Seton said something to me when I was a young comic it was like, It was so profound. It's sharp. It hurt. It stung. But it made perfect sense, man. I was hanging out at this club, LOL, right?
Okay.
And he came in to do his spot. And I think it was like me, Chris, hanging out. And he'd seen us around. He knew who we were. And he was like, hey, what's going on? You guys going up? And I was like, nah. Nah. Fuck you guys doing here? Just hanging out. I was like, hanging out? Like, do they work you here?
No.
It was like, well, have they put you up before?
A lot of questions.
Yeah. I was like, well, yeah.
21
they,
of them.
They let us go. Yeah. He was like, he goes, they let us up once and then they didn't start booking you again after that? No. He's like, well, I think you got your answer. And he just moved on and just went. And it was just one of those things where you're just like, is that true? Like, you know, it fucked me up for a little while, but he was 100% right. You know what I mean? Like, there was no reason to ever sugarcoat it. Like, nigga, they just told you. Like, go somewhere else.
In my opinion, I should have said this. I said a sentence after that. I didn't just walk away. I said a sentence after that, but I guess he was an emotional sentence. I said some fucked up shit, which happens. What I said was, they gave you an answer. Go someplace where somebody loves you. There's a shitload of other clubs here.
Yeah.
Go be loved somewhere else.
Right.
Like, fuck these people.
And that's why I say it was good fucking advice, because we just got back from Austin, Texas, where they fucking loved us.
Jesus.
Yes. They fucking loved
us. Boy, if you don't talk about it,
goddamn.
I'm just happy to hear it. I ain't gonna lie. It's a third party. I'm like, yo, it's fucking beautiful.
Austin. Y'all showed the fuck out.
Down.
It's crazy.
Holy Christ, Austin was great.
Vulcan Gas, 4 shows that were amazing, okay? 2 shows over at the Creek and Cave. Thank you, Rebecca Trent. You know, thank you, Big Laughs Comedy.
Thanks for that stage. I had so much fun on that weird-ass stage. Felt like a Christmas recital.
But those were all No Need fans. I appreciate you all for showing up, you know, coming out in droves. Thank you, you know. It's only going to get bigger and better.
Only going to get bigger and better.
Austin, I got to come back. Dylan didn't even make it the fuck back. But like,
Dylan, make it back.
Just the barbecue. We got to shoot some big guns out there. You know what I mean?
Barbecue is crazy.
You get why guns are addictive. They act like guns are not addictive. The gun should be put up there with like opioids and shit. Because once you start shooting it, you get like defensive that, over the shit. It feels good.
Yeah.
There's a satisfying
some kind of dopamine
feeling.
It's like in your hand when you do that and boom.
And then you hit the motherfucking thing.
Yeah.
Oh, I hit the thing.
Because I think that, and I think that this is the thing. I feel like some of us have to pretend to be pussies all week long just to fit in.
That is
okay.
The,
you know what I mean? Like, and it sucks. There's a lot of men who just have to pretend. Like, I don't want to kill shit. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, man.
No, I don't want to fuck
the Superman
this person. I don't want, like, you know, just have to.
And it's funny because, like, black men, we think, black people, we tend to think of things are centric towards us. Oh, my God, like, this oppression is only, white people are oppressing us. Well, sometimes white people are oppressing everybody.
Yeah.
Going back.
Yeah.
And we happen to be. Yes, we're
they
in
covered
the.
They cover the floor.
Yeah, look at the room. Everybody's getting oppressed, nigga. Why you, well, we special. We special. We ain't that special. That's what I feel sometimes. Like, and that's what I'm thinking about, like the oppression. Like, a lot of black men now have this whole conspiracy the white man is trying to take our masculinity away.
Okay.
I'm like, nigga, take a step back. They're trying to take all masculinity away.
All of it.
There's a power struggle.
All
this has
it.
Nothing to do. Look at the white guys.
Yeah.
They're fucking slapping each other's balls to fucking try to blend in.
I'm down with the shit.
Yeah,
watch me drink beer out of your asshole, dude. I'm a man.
I'm open as fuck. Come on.
I'm trying to show you the large picture.
Yeah.
Look back and see it's all fucked up.
Right, it's all fucked up. Oh, they make a black man wear a dress. Look how many white dudes wear dresses.
I've always thought that.
It's a tradition.
I've always thought that. White dudes be wearing the shit out of dresses. Miss Doubtfire?
What the fuck? Nigga,
Robin Williams was a whole woman. Got an Oscar for it. Or Oscar nod, one or the other.
Tootsie. I mean, these motherfuckers get awards.
What was another one? Ladybugs. The nigga from Never in a Story had to dress like a girl to play on a girl's team.
Which was a good movie.
Good movie.
Good movie.
Never in a Story. Wait, who?
Ladybugs. Rodney Dangerfield and the boy
who
that
was
died
Never
from
in the Story?
Never in a Story. Jonathan Landis.
He's the boy. I just watched that movie.
Yeah, no. This, Never in a Story 2. The
number
one,
two. Exactly, two. One
Jonathan,
is they changed the cast. They
the
changed
boy,
the cast.
Jonathan, whatever. Brandeis. Jonathan Brandeis. That's his name.
Yeah.
And he killed himself.
Yeah.
But before he killed himself, he had a pretty good career with the movies in the 90s, and he dressed like a girl, and it was a hit. White
did
boy.
He kill himself? I thought he died of overdose.
I think he did that.
He was one of the Corys, right?
No,
he wasn't one of the Corys.
He was the other guy that was saying that wild shit on the talk shows. Like he was like suicidal on the talk shows. Like you see that? I'm like, he gonna last long. Like when I was a kid, I was like, oh yeah.
What's his name?
He's special. Jonathan Brandeis.
See if you pull it. Oh, that guy. He was like a really astonishingly good looking
white boy. Didn't he do a Chuck Norris movie too?
Sidekicks.
I like
Sidekicks.
Sidekicks was good. Actually,
Sidekicks.
I remember Sidekicks, but I thought that was that little movie. I thought that was Ernie Reyes Jr. from.
No, that's Ninja Turtles too. Jonathan Brandeis.
But that kid had.
This is great.
Okay, Jonathan Brandeis. Yeah, I do remember. This kid was like uncomfortably good looking.
Murdered himself, and we was like, why, dude? You had everything.
Jesus
black bitches
Christ.
Was trying to fuck this. Like he had black women on him. Like oh, John Brandeis. But he wore a wig. He put a little girl outfit on, and his career would have been great. But I get it.
He looked prettier than a lot of the girls on that team, but they were young girls, so you can't really compare. But
Chew.
He was a pretty nigga.
Chew.
Wait, you can't compare little girls on pretty.
I feel like, I just feel like that's a pedophile territory.
It was weird,
like,
man.
How is that? How's that any different than those kid peasantry things?
Well, I was a
Does
kid.
That got to do anything with pretty?
I mean, that's gross.
If you want to defend.
Whole wig. And girls fell in love with him because they felt safe.
I mean,
around.
Come on. That's a,
Hold on,
that's
wait.
A girl.
He's being a girl in this
he's
movie.
He's being a girl.
Yes. I mean, God.
That's him on the left.
A young, flat chested soccer player girl, and the girl.
Jesus Christ.
Right?
Loved him.
He's much prettier than the girl on the left.
Wow. Yeah.
That was weird. Weird.
I mean, think about that. You wouldn't kill yourself if the baddest bitch you've ever seen is you.
Oh, wow.
Like, I'm never going like, wow, I'm badder than all of y'all. Like,
it's
that's crazy.
The only competition is me. It's time for me to, time for me to get out of here to help y'all niggas out.
It's like when Jordan retired early.
I'm going to step out so y'all can play yellow game.
Holy shit, man. That is weird to be that good looking. Like people say I'm good looking. I don't feel like I'm that good looking, but I don't feel like I'm at an uncomfortable level of being good looking. You know what I mean?
I'm getting there.
Really?
I like that.
Yeah, a little bit more money.
Yeah.
It's gonna be bad, bro. I'm gonna get into all them other moisturizers as soon as this skin starts glowing when I wake up like that. It's all for y'all niggas. It's all for everybody.
Moisturizers some real shit.
Moisturizers.
I remember Leslie Jones like stopped me in the cellar once. Says, hey baby. What's wrong with you? I was like, what's with your lotion? You on TV, you need to do better than this.
Moisturizer, I'm telling you, it's a whole other game.
Did you?
Yeah, I mean, like, I immediately went, well, I mean, hopefully, I don't know. This
would you grow up using?
Skin looks clear. Like, from an eczema dude, skin looks pretty clear.
Thank you.
What did you grow up using moisturizer?
Basic lotion, whatever lotion was around.
Didn't run even no brand specific, none of that shit?
Nope. I don't even remember the look. Because I was in, my mom and dad moved around a lot. So damn. I was a mobile nigga. So I'm just like, oh, whatever's around.
Just trying out.
I can
out
go from Vaseline
shit.
To
yeah,
the Finn shit. Sometimes I go to the White House. I'm like, hey, you have similar shit to us. But I mean, it's just, you know, whatever. It's something that has some leaves on the motherfucking box.
That's always cool.
Yeah.
It's like an indie film with the leave parentheses. Oh, it's going
to
be good.
Now, you grew up with eczema,
oh, no,
so you
had
to pay attention to
all
your
that
shit.
Shit, nigga. Oh, I used to do dips. First of all, when I was born, my mom told me they dipped me to a vat of A&D ointment because I came out bone dry.
Yeah, said that, yeah. But I'm talking about like moisturizer-wise. Like,
thick moisturizers. CeraVe, Eucerin. I had this thing called Elicon cream. It was prescription. I had to put it on every night because that was the only thing that balanced out my skin.
Huh.
I did like a lot of dips, preventative dips. I had to put my body in a whole thing and get in the shower and wash it off and keep the moisture inside. So I had the lotion really fast while I was still wet. Like I had all kinds of... Y'all had it good.
No,
I had
you
really
know
had
what?
To take time out.
I had something different. Anybody who know me from when I was a kid, remember, I had something around my mouth. Like when I was a kid, my shit got fucked up real bad. Like just from licking. But
I thought it was a Kool-Aid stain.
I know that.
Nigga, I had like a full, like from a distance, look like I had a full mustache and beard, but it was all just scabs and scars.
What's
your name? And shit.
One of Reverend Run's kids had that. Russy. He Ooh-y. Used to lick. And it's to get all that stain around his mouth. Yeah, it's like water stains.
Yeah, and that was one no one fucking understood.
We are describing this
no
so
one
vividly.
Understood.
You got
so
minerals
much.
In his saliva.
Yeah.
So much vividness.
It was just one day niggas just start asking me like, yo, what happened to your mouth? And you're like, what? And I remember going to the doctor for years trying to get that fixed, man.
Years.
Holy shit, man.
Fuck, that must have been a nervous tick.
That must have been terrible.
I forgot all about it. Yeah, it might have been a nervous tick.
Because it's your body trying to scratch or itch or make. So you know how you when you get a tooth taken out?
Yeah.
You always going to have the same thing.
I think that's his body going, oh shit, there's like somebody with a gun about to shoot somebody.
Maybe that's
danger.
What it was.
This is danger. Let me just breathe and sit in the corner. And if I bite my lip enough, I won't get noticed. That's what happened. And I saw
Oh, shit. You might have just uncovered some fucked up dark shit, man. God damn it.
That's paranoia. That was,
yeah. Because I remember before that, I had a shit where I was licking my shoulders. And that one I would get in trouble for. Because they was like, nigga, you got everybody thinking you retarded.
Yeah.
Like,
they're scaring the fuck you out of you. Every fuck. I beat your fucking ass. Go to bed.
Like
okay.
This?
Let me just.
Like this?
If I lick my shoulder. Maybe
Like, nigga, I'm talking about, I used to come home and my mom used to check my shit. Like, if my shit was wet, I was going to get my ass whooped.
Yeah.
Because she
think about that. If she's already checking your shoulder to see if your shoulder's wet to whoop your ass, think about the steps of Think about the steps of how many ass whoops he had to get for her to even have to look there. Think about that. Like, you don't just get there. You don't just get there.
That's
like,
curriculum.
No.
Yeah. Like, that's just keeping going up.
That's how abuse works.
I was trying to explain that shit to Dylan this past week in Austin because, like, he was seeing like my regimen of how like I still get up and run. I still get it don't matter what we did the night before, I'm still gonna get up, I'm still gonna meditate, you know what I mean? Like you come in where I'm at, 9 a.m., my bed is made, I'm gone, boom, boom, boom. And he's like, what is that? I'm like, I have to do that.
You got
because
it.
The programming that's in me from that childhood is so like I'm trying to override all of that shit. Like I did this shit, I get caught up in the dumb shit. I went to the convenience store when we was in Austin.
Okay.
I'm here on tour. Like, this is the behavior I gotta get out of me. I told you about this when I fucked up in a hotel in Virginia. I told everybody about this when I peed in the fucking hotel in Virginia because I'm a fucking moron. I got angry. You know what I mean? But
you peed all over the floors?
The bathroom.
Oh, word.
Yeah, I don't remember. I told this story.
Yeah, I remember. Go ahead.
But we
David Psycho.
When I went to go buy joints,
okay.
Papers from the store. And the dude just wasn't acknowledging me, so I just started grabbing stuff from behind the counter. That's my natural inclination. You know what I mean? It's no sense. And I'm like, fuck. Like, I gotta, like, I can't not. I have to be in absolute control when I interact with people.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it goes there.
Well, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, most everybody needs to be in absolute control when they're dealing with people. That's the problem. People think they don't need to be in control when they deal with people. Like,
it's morphin' time.
Right.
Da.
So anyway. He's throwing this shoe around. What do you know about these shoes, Seton?
What do I know about
Black
them?
Air
I know,
Force Ones.
I mean, like,
the connotation.
The actual color?
The kind of.
I got to know about, there's an actual history behind the actual color.
The connotation
color.
Of the shoe.
Yeah.
The connotation
of the shoe.
Yeah. I mean, let's see. First time I saw Air Force Ones, I guess, what, late 90s?
Okay.
I was moved from, like, you know, California to Jersey. And so it was a culture shock. A lot of things I had to figure out. Like, army fatigues was a new thing. hoodies.
Oh, you went to the East and you went to Jersey.
East, yeah.
That's a hell of a training course.
Yeah, hoodies in California, like, it, I don't know, it's a mixed bag. Nigga be wearing hoodies and shorts, you'd be confused. Here, yeah, it was a different energy. Like, puffies were the scariest fucking thing to me when I came here because nobody pleasant in the 90s was wearing puffies. Like, you know what
when
I'm saying?
When you say puffies, what are you talking about? Down puffy jackets?
I call them puffies. Because what the fuck is that? They just.
What the fuck kind of old man? Like,
puffies. They were called puffies to me.
Puffies.
See, that to me is not a down jacket. That was just like.
You got the puffies.
I mean, like South Pole when the shit you would walk around.
All you boys with them puffies. Get off of that.
Get off my lawn with your puffy coat.
Dangerous looking puffies.
The puffies.
You got puffies on with your music? Oh, blasting. I don't like it. I don't like it, I say. They knew Jesus a little bit better. I swear they wouldn't be putting the puffies on.
The puffies on.
So you come to Jersey, people got on puffies.
Puffies. when that name changed?
It's the puffy coat. I've heard puffy
I'm at that
coat.
Age now. I'm at
but
the age
puffies,
now.
That's so funny.
No, man, I'm at the age now. I'm like, well, I thought that was good. Okay, I guess we stop. I guess, you know what? When I think about it,
I love it. Keep saying it. That shit is puffies? Hilarious.
It is.
Natalie, please adapt that and start using that.
I was just going to say, I am absolutely going to start
like
saying puffies. That. That's amazing.
You got the puffy coats.
Yeah, man.
Boys with the puffies over there.
I can't wait to go into H&M and they just have these new seasons puffies. And you're just like, they done stole our fucking word again.
P-U-F-F-I-E-S. Puffies.
Hell yeah.
So you're getting there, you're seeing hoodies, you know.
Yeah, just like the most,
jackets.
Like my early memories of the dudes who mostly like tried to rob me around that introduction
had that. Yeah.
Yeah.
What know, part of Jersey is this?
I was in Montclair.
Dang! Oh, yeah, okay.
That's hilarious.
But Montclair.
That's my neighborhood.
Montclair's nice.
Montclair's an interesting neighborhood because Montclair. It's an interesting dynamic where they had the rich people and then they had the servants of the rich people.
Okay.
And then eventually the rich people were like, we don't want to be associated with these niggas. So then they called it Upper Montclair and then they called it Lower Montclair.
Oh,
but
shit.
Then Lower Montclair started getting much more money, but like then they started like slowly lowering where like there wasn't a lot of danger, but there were kids who thought they were dangerous.
I never thought about that to literally just go, yeah, we're upper this and you're lower that.
Oh, yeah, that was a conscious decision.
Same
thing.
Wow.
Yeah, absolutely.
Heights, yeah. Just be like, yeah, we're this upper. Like,
yeah.
Fuck.
Absolutely. And then sometimes they fuck it up where, like in Palm Springs, I was in the same situation where they had a white and black section, but then, like, the white people figured out, geologically speaking, when it rained, they put themselves at the bottom of the hill. So they had to figure out. So gentrification there was just more or less, niggas, go to the bottom of the hill. We want the top of the hill shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was that kind of shit.
Look what redlining did. That's all from redlining.
we fucked up, but we gonna fix it.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember I drove down there actually a couple months ago. I went there just to see my old town. I remember. The apartment building that just was full of roaches. I mean, piles of roaches. And now, like, it's a condo for $500,000. I'm like,
dang!
Wow.
Where'd the roaches
cool.
go?
I know.
They got them out of there.
I know.
Where do the roaches go?
Mm. Yeah. Well, it depends. Like, as a man who's lived in a lot of shitty buildings, it's that wall foundation shit. Like, once you get, like...
Okay.
Because, okay, I'm gonna say this. I'm like, there's a story of my ex's sister. She tried to move next door to us, which is a wonderful, wonderful idea. And I get to get all that energy. It was wonderful. But then, like, the building she lived in, she saw, like, a little mouse. And she's like, can you get an exterminator, please? And she's like, okay, cool. He came. I saw the mouse again. Brought the exterminator again. The exterminator was like, let me just check the building. And so he went down to a couple other buildings and, like, went to other people's walls and was like, oh, no, every... wall and crevice has bed bugs and or mice or like this building needs to be taken down.
Wow. so she was like living in the walls.
Yeah, and they were like, so she basically paid her to shut up and move. Like, we'll pay for your deposit. We'll put it in. We'll just leave you to shut the fuck up. Wow. Oh, that. So, you know, there's that kind of price. You know, there's renovation price. There's also shut the fuck up money price. And it starts to, you know, balance out.
They'd be the foundation after a while.
Yeah, it's their house now. Yeah, so.
You ever see that, see the episode of Family Guy? I think Peter stank so bad he chased the roaches out, so the roaches left. But then Lois was like, "Uh oh, we in trouble because they held up 70% of the house." So when they left, the house fell on him. I was like, "My God, I love this cartoon!"
Yeah, let's get back to this. What's one more real life story? Because I remember in D.C., I used to live in such a poor place. I was a student, and I was just, "Oh, this place was great." On top of a barbershop, so we had roaches, but we also had mice, and I learned so much about roaches and mice. That is. If you have a mouse problem, you don't really have a roach problem because the mice eat the roaches. Okay. Now, the smaller mice you have, those are the searcher mice. The bigger mice you get, you realize that those mice ate the smaller mice so they can start coming. And then the bigger mice you get, that's when it starts to become rats.
Oh, shit.
So one in the hand, two in the bush. Yeah.
But if you see one mouse, there's like probably 50.
It's a gang.
You're fucked.
Because they roll with colonies.
Yeah.
They call them rat colonies. They call them colonies of rats.
Mice do the same shit?
Mice, rats, same family. It's like Cornish hens and fucking chickens. Yeah. Same shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Everybody's fucking everybody.
I mean, they was around when we was kids, but I didn't learn that much about them other than, catch them on the trap.
Yeah, I didn't learn about mice like that. Roaches, I knew. Mice was a new, 20s thing. Like, oh, shit.
I hated all of it.
So let's get back to this reverse Karate Kid upbringing of yours, because he went from Jersey to California and got bullied. You went from California to Jersey.
Yeah, I did. I had no Mr. Miyagi, nigga. Oh, God, I wish I had a Miyagi. Yeah. If I had a Miyagi, but then I think about it now that I actually do fight, I'm like, I would have got shot. I would have got shot for real. Like, I know people, I'm like,
because they don't want to take no L to you. What are you as a kid? Are you you quiet? You weirdo dude?
I moved around a lot. So
you're the nomadic nigga.
Yeah, so nomadic niggas don't have, it's like a prison thing.
I know nomadic niggas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Prison thing. It's like, once you go to a new town, there are sanctions, there are gangs, there are affiliations, there are consequences to fucking up. You gotta learn the politics. A bitch ain't like that clear shit you see on TV, I'm a coward. No, it's like, okay, if I fight this nigga, he has four brothers, they also run all the gangs here. He also knows I will get killed. There's also this, one time for years, because dudes are like this. Dudes be like, man, I hate being a bitch, man. I wish I stood up. Nigga, don't listen to the movies. I remember one time I was with this one girl. I liked her a lot. And this other dude, it was a miscommunication.
Okay.
We were taking photography class with this girlfriend, and me and the teacher sent us both into the dark room to develop pictures. And I think I said some joke, but I don't think it was sexual. I was just like, oh, let me tell you. Oh, don't touch me. I didn't say that. Don't touch me. Right? Cute. I guess she told her boyfriend a cute joke. Boyfriend puts in his head like, yo, man, you flirt with my girlfriend in the dark room?
Of course.
That's what happened. Yeah. And problem is, nigga's a wrestler, right?
Oh, shit.
Right, wrestler. Heavier than me then. And for years, I was like, fuck, man, he got in my face. I was with this girl, and he was just like, man, get out of my face. And I was like, I'm not doing anything. I was a straight bitch. I admit it, I was a bitch. And I remember I was a bitch because she looked at me ugly like, you a bitch, nigga. Like, pussy just died from that moment.
Die,
and for years, I was like, fuck, man. I wish I stood up to that dude. Now, cut to now, 20 years later, 25 years later, I learned MMA. I fight dudes constantly. I fight fucking pro fighters. Now that I know the capability of what that kid could have done, thank God I ran away. You know what I'm saying? I'm so fucking happy. That nigga could have killed me so much. Wrestling is the number one, if you're on the street. Like, people say boxing's good. Boxing's good, but your hands can break at any moment.
Wrestling is
like, I can grab you, put you where a place you don't want to be at, and look at you, shut up, see the fuck up. That is the most... Oh, that nigga could have put his balls on my face.
And I could have just been like, got a lot worse.
I mean, it could have been
submissions
horrific. Like, the shit they do to their friends is horrific. Like, they hold their friends down and fart in their face.
Way to think, man. Over some pussy that you weren't even gonna get.
Wasn't even gonna get anyway. Yeah.
Gotta love this show.
Being a bitch is a science, nigga.
It's a science to being a bitch.
Telling you niggas,
you got to select when to be a bitch and when not to be a bitch.
I'll never forget. I remember I was a bitch, and this hurt my heart to be a bitch this way. But to this day, I can't figure out why this dude was on me so hard. Right, basically, this is like seventh grade. It's like our first little dance type situation, right? And this is where I learned the value of, just keep your mouth shut. Don't talk shit. Because motherfuckers are petty. You know what I mean? So, basically, a girl that I liked became off the market. Before I could talk to her, me and my homie, I'm like, oh, man, I think I might holler at this girl. And they're like, oh, I think she just started dating this dude. Let's just say his name is John. I'm like,
John.
Oh, man, that nigga bitch. I could probably get her. You know what I mean? This is just how we talking, right?
Mentality, bro.
But for some reason... my homie still repeated that in another conversation. It's not malicious. It's just my man like her. You know what I mean? He said her dude a bitch. He could probably take her. That now comes full circle. We at the dance. I'm out here trying to get my jam on. And here come this guy with the other guy with John under his arm. And John is like, yeah, man, I heard about that shit talking about. That shit ain't cool.
Not this.
Now, the crazy thing is, that's not the John that I was talking about.
Okay.
So I was like, nah, I didn't mean you. I meant the other John, but all right, whatever. Cool. No doubt. It's done. We walk off. 20 minutes later, the same nigga comes with the other John.
Oh,
like,
my God.
And I'm like, what the fuck is going on with you? Like, I got to be a bitch, because I more want to focus on him. Like, I'm going to back down and be a bitch, but I need to figure out what you brought two niggas here to me at the party? In 20
gay.
Minutes?
That's gay.
Is that, are you still friends with him?
No, I was never friends with that guy. I was never friends with that guy.
He clearly knew that, too. That's why he was trying to get you killed, nigga. He knew you. Okay, finally, I'm going to get this nigga killed. Here we go.
That's crazy.
You ain't dead yet? Hold on.
Right,
I'm just kidding.
Right. Yeah. But again, I had
he went
to be
to
a,
the shelf.
Yeah. I had to be a bitch to not fight those guys and figure out who is my true enemy. Who keeps sending niggas at me?
Shit,
you know what I mean? Like,
but you're right. You figured it out. It was really yourself. You know what I'm saying? You're right. You just
talking
said it.
Shit. Yeah, talking shit.
Literally the same thing happened.
Right.
Literally.
Right.
Freshman year, Howard University. I get there, and I'm going in my head. I saw a lot of Revenge of the Nerds, and so I thought to myself, okay, finally, I'm going to get to a place where my nerdiness is accepted.
Yeah.
Oh, shit, I'm about to get girl after girl. And let me tell you something. It's interesting how the mind works, where, like you can't really escape yourself. Like, because both of us was happening. I was getting flirted with white women, and I was like, oh, shit, was great. But I also was still that guy who thought everybody hated me.
Okay.
And so I couldn't stop acting that way, no matter how good things happened to me.
Okay.
So there was this one girl who I thought I had a chance with, and I, again, probably did, but I fucked it up, and I found an excuse that she started dating this other dude. Now, this other dude, I couldn't talk shit about, but I had to because he was so perfect. He was the kind of dude... he's the kind of dude that I don't know if you know Lance Gross. He's an actor now. He's been on multiple shows.
I know Lance Gross.
Exactly.
That was him?
Exactly. Exactly.
Right.
First off, that's like me going to basketball.
Lance
you gonna pick Michael Jordan over me? Like it was one of those
Lance
situations.
Gross take chicks like this.
He'd take
them like this.
This is before TV. This nigga's like when I realized like really truly famous, special people. He didn't need a camera to be special. Like that was girls would say. Like, announce and be proud, like, I'm not going to have a crush on him because everybody else has a crush on him. Like,
yeah,
that kind of shit.
Lance was
my
getting
God,
pussy,
he would, bro. He would do models. Like, he would do a little...
Lance walk in the room, take all the girls. When I was working on BET the 1 year, he was working on that Kelly Rowland shit. He came in, started talking to me.
Yeah.
I didn't even love that nigga Lance Gross.
You don't even know what it looks like. You just think.
You'd be like,
damn. I'd never seen that shit before. At 18, I was like a marvel. I was just like, I reacted like a true bitch would.
Right,
what the fuck is this shit? Fuck
who
him.
The fuck
oh my God.
Says he
you know?
Right, right,
people
right.
yell at Jesus. I'm not putting up on Jesus, but I'm also apologizing because I was such a bitch that I need to say sorry, man.
No apologies on this show. You had to do it because you had to do it.
No, 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 because it got more interesting after that because I didn't actually solve the problem. It wasn't like I was a little bitch and then it got much worse.
What happened?
Worse.
What would you do?
Well, because like, I kept talking shit because I kept getting laughs. So I'm a comedian, and I'm just doing it wherever I can. And this is like this is first couple weeks of freshman year. We all don't know anybody.
Yeah.
Fuck loyalty. Wow. Fuck loyalty, nigga. This is just...
This is the beginning of the game.
I might as well get on a speaker. Lance is a bitch. Like, I might as well have done that. Cordial smart about what I was doing. And no, so Lance is, again, a beautiful man, a nice guy. So therefore, he starts making just like friends.
Natalie, because I don't know who he is. Can you pull him up?
Pull up Lance Gross.
Pull up
Gross.
Lance Gross. Yeah. I just want to see who he's talking about.
Yeah, he makes not only friends, but he also makes like just like sympathetic. Like, why is this bitch nigga talking so much shit about you?
Wow.
You're a nice guy.
Wow.
And my insecurity. I'm creating this fucking world of just everybody hating me. Nobody loves me. I'm just doing it over and over. And I'm thinking I have a chance with this nigga.
Yeah.
Get some.
Yeah, I remember dating a girl. Polo. I remember dating a girl that was watching Meet the Browns just for him. I'm
like, this
show is not good.
Yeah,
this show is not good.
He is so beautiful. He can carry a franchise.
Like fucker, man.
Carry franchise beauty. It's
that guy,
fucking amazing.
And you know what? I'm going to go out there and say it. I don't think he works legs. How about that, lady? He's got all shoulders and triceps. I don't think he works legs.
I'm going to argue he was a track star. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, nigga, he was.
I know. He was running track.
I know. The nigga's just special. I've never dealt with that before. I was so.
Yeah. And he ran track.
Yeah.
Damn.
Oh, God.
So, basically, I've basically been an asshole. And so he, like, fucking groups of people. And so hood niggas who shouldn't be in college suddenly were in college. You know what? One of them. Who guy I actually like, but his mom was actually worked at the school, so he just got to go there. So he acted hood as fuck. He was so hood. So as a side note, there was a graduation that they set up all the chairs in the yard, thousands and thousands of chairs set up, podiums and whatnot. He took his car and started doing figure eights in the middle of the field.
After he graduated?
No.
freshman year.
Oh.
The day, like, the night before the first grad. Look, he was just, no, this was freshman year. So he was just, he had that mentality. So boy, be that, that kind
cool
of mentality.
18, 19 year old.
Yeah, he's that kind of mentality. But it's also, it's not white guys that's fun. Black people, though, something bad could happen. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, yeah, you could go. Yeah. So I remember a couple times these dudes just kind of walked by me. I'm going to fuck you up. But just like got that shit where, like, I'm getting whispers. I'm like, oh, I think I fucked up. You know, so then he. So then he confronts me like, hey, man, I don't like that shit you talk about me. You wouldn't fucking do that shit. And he's like, and then he confronts me like, yeah, you know, like a man. He really confronts me. Stop that shit. And I'm like, all right. I just said that, and yeah. I walk away because I'm like, maybe I. What should I do? Because and then my boy, who's like, my boy's kind of, you know, loony and crazy. His dad locked him in the house a lot, so he's just like, yo, let's get some sticks. Let's fuck this nigga up, chump him. I'm like,
okay,
nah, that ain't the option. So anyways, point being, I went up to him and apologized and was like, yo, man, I didn't realize how much of a bitch I was. I actually don't want to fight over being a bitch, and that's kind of my main goal in life. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I would be defending.
Hold on, this is totally unprofessional, but my girlfriend has got to call me right now, babe. Can you hear me?
Hey, what's up?
Hey, you're on the podcast. What's up? You at my place?
No need. Yes, I'm at your place.
Okay. Can you get my suitcase and my black hoodie out of my thing and then throw that in the car? If I'd have took the call, if I'd have just did this off mic, it'd have been even weirder.
All right.
Trust me.
The no need hoodie? The black?
No, the black plain hoodie.
The black plain joint. No frills hoodie.
Everything this is a big testament because I was worried. I'm not gonna lie to you, T. I was a little bit worried, and I gotta be honest with you, it's because you're small. It's because you're small. I was like, I don't know whether all of these tasks are gonna work out for you. T had to pick up a rental car and then go put her stuff in the car, and then go get my stuff in the car, and she's coming to the studio to pick me up. And that's a lot of stuff to trust a small person with.
Yeah.
Listen.
T short. T like 5 foot, right?
And strong.
Okay.
5'2". Okay, good for you, babe.
All right. Oh shit! My laptop too. My laptop and my hard drive.
Oh my lord!
You got dual on them out there.
That's
in
why.
AC.
That's why I forgot. That's why I need to make sure that I called you. All right. Let me get back to the show. I'm gonna see you in a little bit. All right.
You know.
Hey. What you about to say?
No. Do your last little. Come on, man. Boo it up.
No, I'm gonna just tell her. You know, stay black, baby. Black Air Force One.
Oh yeah.
All day.
Love Thanks it. For throwing away them white ones. Get some black ones.
Guys. White ones.
No, fuck that. Black ones. You know. Seton.
Yeah.
You know what was fucked up that you tell me all these stories? It's like they put us against each other when you first got to New York. I'll never forget that. They already, when Seton moved in, they was like, oh, Derek Gaines' career done. Because they got Seton. This nigga wear a suit. He got the crazy hair and he know how to talk to white people better than you. Oh, yeah, it's done. They was like, yeah, Derek's career. And I'm like, I'm talking to dude already with a beef in my head. And the nigga that was like, what's up, man?
So as if, like, there was only one slot.
Yeah, I was like, God damn. They set us up. They broke the pool stick on us when he first moved here. And I didn't even know him. I was like, he seems cool, but I guess I got to hate him now. So it was like a weird hate until I actually
remember,
start talking to him.
Like, you don't have cool to say any names, but do you remember the type of people that was telling
you? Yeah, all the comics.
It was comics. Oh, okay.
It was comics. Like, oh, yeah, your career is done. Seton Smith is here. I was like, God damn. And then when I saw him, I had to hate him immediately. And I was like, this is some bullshit, because he had to... This one used to wear the brown, the earth tones all the time with the elbow pads and shit.
Oh, yeah, God. That was interesting back then.
And,
yeah.
You know, the motherfucker was getting Mulaney and all. And I'm like, he was landing gigs, and I was standing.
You know what? I'm going to go ahead and say this. That elbow patches on a coat on the black man, kind of Black Air Force One energy.
But the bull came in. He was doing the snapping. They was like, he high energy. Yeah, Derek's done. It was wild until I start talking to you. I was like, this motherfucker's cool as shit.
Yeah.
No, it happened. But also, I was putting out bad energy. My fear energy up until a lot of years was creating my own bullshit anyway. You know what I mean? So I couldn't even blame other people for what they thought. Because, like, I discovered recently, like, you know, people have energy. Like, people, we think that we're humans who have animalistic tendencies when really we're animals who think. Learn to think.
Wow.
So we feel shit and then we justify our emotions. Mm. So I'm saying, when you feel some way about some motherfucker, they usually are feeling their own kind of way. You react off their energy. And usually it's like a matter of what your emotional control is like, what your space is like, what
your emotional maturity.
You know what I mean? So, like, that shit was, my emotional maturity was not, I didn't understand what the fuck I could, you know, as comedians, a lot of us won't understand how strong and powerful we are. Like, when you get on stage every night, learn how to talk, learn how to say the same thing, learn how to elicit emotion in a motherfucker, you don't understand how powerful that fucking thing does, especially to yourself. You can start convince, like, every, you convince
believe
yourself.
Your own hype.
You believe your own hype, no, even your own hype, even, like, Okay, here's the thing about memory and emotions. This is how I didn't understand this. Like, if you, like, learn information, you can learn. The only way you can learn it is if you have some kind of emotional attachment to it.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if you, like you know stats because you feel. Like, I know Jordan's stats because I fucking felt. Oh, my God. Yo, what the fuck?
We was there for them games. Right, we was watching them games.
60. I remember when I remember Kobe got 60. I remember felt it. You know what I'm saying? That's how you actually memorize shit.
Yeah.
That's actually all memorize.
Gotta give a fuck.
Or the exact opposite. You burn your hand on a stove. Now I fucking hate stoves. I remember the fucking time. Every time you walk by a stove.
Yeah.
That's how you kind of your mind and your battery and all that shit works. So, like, fuck, I went on a train of thought, smoking weed before all this shit.
Nah, but
you're right there.
Hold on.
Training yourself to...
emotionally attached to either learn something or to repulse something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I'm just saying, you got to learn how to, like, you know, emotionally control your emotions. Now, there's some fucking, there was a point this whole, what were we talking about before?
Because they
Let's
set
edit
us
this
up...
shit out, guys. I'm sorry.
No, it's smoking good. Weed. They set us up to hate each other for no fucking reason.
Right.
And
right,
I hated
right.
that. Right. And I'm
so,
like,
right.
Because it was already career. Oh, now your career done because we got the one. It's like, stop trying to token us, nigga.
Yeah.
Let everybody come out here and tell these jokes.
Yeah.
But automatically, I started hating the dude because I was watching his style of comedy. I'm like, now I'm second guessing myself. That's complete emotional immaturity.
But you know
what?
Oof.
Right?
Yeah.
It's like, I'm like,
oh, yeah.
I'm already insecure over some shit they set up.
Yeah.
It wasn't even me to go because I don't
and
know
the
this
crazy
dude.
Crazy thing about it was, you didn't even want that.
I didn't want it.
When you first started comedy back in Philly,
yeah.
you weren't competing for this spot against, see, you didn't even know that this thing existed.
I didn't even know it existed.
Right.
We was all standing in line trying to be funny every
right.
Wednesday
so
night.
So for now, for somebody to plant a seed of anxiety in your head for some shit that probably don't even fucking exist. You know what I mean?
Like, don't even exist. And then all the shit that piles on top of that, because I'm an analytical guy, he gonna try to, my ex-girlfriend gonna try to fuck him. He gonna get all the spots that I can't get. It's another late night that I'm gonna miss out because there's a motherfucker that looks like me that's better than me with the writing. I'm setting up a case for no fucking reason, and I hated that. Looking back, like, oh God, I hated me in the 20s, in my 20s, because I was like, ah, oh, I let all that shit get to me.
Because I mean, you know, we all have them. So it's like they only make me feel good. Where like I'll see, like the best comics. All have those demons in their head, or even all the best people have all those demons, like the best artists.
Yeah.
So it's like we all have that, and I'm not dismissing it. I'm almost like acknowledging that shit because I think like when you told me that shit, and I was going through my own shit, I kind of made it a knowledge of like, all right, good.
Oh, so you already knew this. You
already
had this conversation before.
I talked to, I ain't gonna be no bitch. I was like, why'd they set us up against each other?
Yeah. So for me, I was like, I like this. He's a symbol in my own head of like setting up like just good energy. So like, like I legitimately feel good when he gets roles. And I just
I feel good when he gets roles. I'm like, this nigga was cool from jump, but I had this whole thing like, man, this nigga gonna try to, they gonna break the pool.
Cassie even got the acting coach I've suggested.
Yeah. Kimmy been helping me out. Yeah. 2011, when'd you move to New York?
2011.
February 2011.
Soon as I moved here. 2012.
As soon as
you got here.
As soon as he got here. Because you started hopping on the Village Lantern scene and the fucking, and then they started,
the
new
dude. Oh, so you got here around the same time we did.
Yeah, 2011. Okay. So
I had a plan. And the thing is, I had a plan. My plan was good, but then I meet a nigga like Che, his plan was better. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I remember exchanging notes in the bar nine. I want to say bar store, like 2011. I remember, like, I knew a lot of tools. I knew once I get to the city, you could have a strong 20 minutes because that's, people are only going to rate you those first 6 months. Whatever the first 6 months, that's what they're going to think of you for like years. And then you get out of that. So I'd make sure, don't work on anything for the next 20, for like, don't work anything for 6 months. That was my goal. Che took it to a new level. Che had a exact...
I didn't get that nigga on the show. Yeah, I'm going to try to get him here. But anyway, go ahead.
You got to get him on, see what happens.
I got to get him on.
You might have to do transfer. You might have to catch him just on the street sometime and talk.
He's an aloof. That's an aloof motherfucker.
He did give us a heads up that he would be dropping in a black-ass comedy soon. So
yeah, that'd be awesome.
That's a reason for you to be there every fucking week.
It's a great show.
It's already a fucking zoo every Sunday. So
yeah, we back January
2nd. Might as well,
break.
January 2nd is going to be a crazy lineup. You might want to be in the building that one. Who knows which one of these shows Michael Che might show up to. So
yeah, but go
favorite
ahead.
Show in the city. It's my new favorite show in the city.
Thank you.
By far. What were we talking about?
His plan.
Che's plan.
His plan was his plan, and he had
20
took
minutes.
A
they see you for 6 months.
Yeah. I'm law office, a motherfucker. You see, I'm like, what are we talking about?
I know. What? The puffies. Wait a minute.
The puffies.
I explained how my memory shit, and you're going to start doing commercials in the middle of a story and expect me to jump back up.
All right. Back from this commercial break. Go ahead, Shane. I'm sorry.
Oh, but his set was not like, his set was so exact. Like, my set was like, how do I explain this? because I started comedy in D.C., I would start at the Road Early. And Road Early is immediately you need 10 to 15-minute spots, 20-minute spots. And when you work on 15 to 20 minutes, mm-hmm. it's a different kind of art form than it is when you work on a 2-minute set in New York.
Okay.
2-minute set and a 10-minute set, those are different jokes. There's different intentions. You can So if I'm doing 15 minutes on the road, you can get away with a lot of performing.
Okay.
And then I can get away with a lot of performing, but also I knew a lot of other stuff about comedy, so I could still look like I write, but it wasn't the proper writing because I was using a lot of different other forms. I was cheating in a way, but it was a complicated-ass, convoluted-ass cheating.
Okay.
But then, like, when you work, you want two-minute sets, like, I almost tell every new comic, start working on that shit because that form of learning how to do 2 minutes at a time. His set that he did for 6 months was just so fucking tight that it was like he had nowhere to go.
Applause Break Che. That's what he used to call him.
Those first 6 months? And then
back when Hannibal was running Knitting Factory, Applause Break Che. That's what they was calling that nigga. It was crazy.
Yeah, exactly. That was a fucking beautiful show. Beautiful set he had. I still think
Hannibal
about that
ran
shit.
Knitting Factory. That shit was fucking showcasing. That was it.
That was heaven.
He gets up and does black ass. He goes, this remind me of like Hannibal's room when he got black people in there, but he ain't got black people in there for like year three.
It was a bunch of white girls sitting Indian style for a long time.
All of them like 99 chairs.
Sitting Indian style, listening to jokes. Like, what the fuck is this, man?
What you mean? We did that goofy shit. Room in Brooklyn.
But now that we got black ass, they sitting in chairs.
What was that goofy room we had in Brooklyn where they were sitting on step ladders and little logs and shit?
Bushwick Public House. That lasted 2 weeks. That was 2 weeks. Chicks start bringing their dogs in. I was like, no, this ain't it.
Oh, that was up on the rooftop.
No, we was in a basement of a coffee shop with a pool table in it. I mean, it just don't get much more hipster than this. And I remember even when we was setting the room, like it'd be like a log.
It looked like summer camp in there. It looked like a summer camp setup. Like it wasn't chairs. It was just shit you could sit on.
And I remember setting the shit up like, this shit looked bad,
benches,
right?
Oh.
But I remember they came and they sat down. And then once all the seats was filled, they just started sitting Indian style on the floor. I'm like, you motherfuckers will sit anywhere.
I don't know. That energy, that's a fun energy to do a show in front of, man. We got motherfuckers who like are like going out of the way to look at old shit and make it work.
Yeah.
They're going to like your set. Okay. Like they're going to figure out a way to connect.
Let me ask you this, though. All right. You meditate, right?
Yes.
Do you do like the crisscross applesauce position? Like, do you sit in Indian style?
I got to build up to that. I mean, I do.
Okay.
I'm even doing Kung Fu. I'm learning. I can.
But I'm just I do that. And I'm noticing like, this is a sit and receive information position.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
So a motherfucker sitting Indian style to watch a conversation or watch a comedy show,
that makes sense.
They going to listen. You know what I mean? Like, it's story time now. You know what I mean?
Ooh.
Natalie, what you say? Natalie, I feel like you sit Indian style to watch TV still.
I could, yeah. I'm one of the only people, because if I talk to, like, my parents and stuff, they're like, how do you sit like, how do you do that with your legs? I'm like, no, I still do it. Yeah, I get you. That's such a deep way to describe it.
Kids used to sit like crisscross applesauce.
That's where they
read story.
Yeah, like that's the way you get a kid to sit and listen to some shit, man. They got to sit Indian style, and I think for us, we got to. I need to sit up straight and standing. They can sit down Indian style.
Sitting up straight is a good part, but it's just the slouching part is actually the bad part.
I slouch like a motherfucker. So.
Yeah, but if you stand, it's a way you stand with people where it's a heart center thing. So if you stand, So if I'm like, it's like almost where you're flirting. There's a camera here. So I guess camera's here. So if you're flirting, you kind of want to be off center, right? But if you want to be commanding, there's this. But if you want to like say, hey, I'm listening, you kind of like have your heart kind of open. Like,
like
I'm listening, yeah.
It's
oh,
that deep chakra shit.
We're going to have sex. That kind of like. That's like
yes, girl, my chest is open, so you can open up. Everything else.
Yes. You open up your legs.
Open up your legs.
We're all open. We go on a journey.
Natalie, do we have any plug music available? Let's get some plugs going on here, man. All right. I have no idea where we are in the log with shows or when this is coming out.
Everything got moved.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
I'm assuming that it's the new year. Black Ass is back January 2nd.
January 2nd.
Bedford Avenue. And every Sunday, and if we're not there, as you saw when we were in Austin, we'll have dope ass hosts for you.
Yeah.
It's always going
to
be somebody.
But it's about to be a problem because I don't know where I'm going for the next few months. So every Sunday, it's going to be a fucking movement.
Yeah. January 21st and the 22nd, you can catch me in St. Louis Helium. Those tickets are available on DaveTempleComedy.com. Also, I got some weird dates out in Iowa. I'm going to do a college in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. So if anybody else, if there's a scene in Iowa, if they have any listeners in Iowa, let me know where to go.
Yeah.
I just want to see what are you guys doing with your nightlife in Iowa. Hit me up. I want to know what's going on out there.
They're very progressive.
Who?
They're very progressive.
Yeah, I figure they gotta be. Man.
Iowa, yeah. What up? Yeah.
I like Iowa.
Ain't no reason to hate out in Cedar Rapids. I've heard Cedar Rapids is a good club to go to. Or club, the area.
Okay.
Yeah. Cedar Rapids.
All right, anything you got plugged there?
As of right now, all I got, the tentative date for those who really listen to the show, January 28th is my episode of Blue Bloods.
Oh, shit,
January 28th is called Cold Comfort. Comes on CBS.
I like that we watch this thing manifest. Yeah. Seton, we watched Derek get up and go audition for the show. Because he was here. He went to another studio and auditioned. And we watched him get the role. And then we're about to watch it air. I feel like we should throw a party on the show.
We should. January 28th. Maybe a little viewing over at Brooklyn Comedy Club or something like that. Just to, you know.
I was happy for him, man. I've auditioned for the motherfucker.
You auditioned for him?
Because me and him go up for the same fucking roles all the time. And if I didn't get it, you get it? Yeah, I got it. Word. All right.
Yeah, but sometimes you get a role that I don't, like, there was that one gay role and we were both kind of like,
we was both tripping over that, bro. My mom was like, don't do it if you feel uncomfortable. I'm like, mom, it's $60,000 an episode.
Yeah, I mean, that does make you comfortable.
How'd you feel about this Blue Bloods role?
I honestly was a little distracted. That's why I was like, I couldn't give it the emotional attachment I want.
He calls me up. He goes, all right, they got to be playing like a snitch. Is that bad? Am I fucking, nigga, go get your money,
the
man.
Black community,
bullshit.
They going to be, you know me, I always ask.
I kind of liked it. Like, I kind of liked the idea of, because you had an arc. You weren't just a snitch. You were a guy who had a brother, and then I'm sorry, I don't want to ruin the story.
Lead it up. That's what I be trying to tell this nigga, man.
It's a good story. Yeah,
good story.
This nigga I be on the road plugging this nigga shit like I'm Charlie Murphy. I be like, my little brother dope, nigga. Go see his shit. He's like, come on, guy.
Nah, y'all should watch it. Like, it's like, it requires a lot of layers. You got to be funny, and you got to be heartfelt.
Yeah,
because
the director was like, Derek, we love what you're doing. Just be a little more grounded. Because I was being, over the top funny. Yeah.
Exactly.
So he was like, all right, bring it down some. And then I learned how to mix it up. Oh, yeah, it was fun. So much, in fact, they didn't kill me off at the end of the show. I was supposed to die.
They're going to bring you back.
They brought me back. It's like I shot in the shoulder instead of the heart.
That's a great sign.
Yeah,
they shot
me in the shoulder instead of the heart.
Well, now they need you. Now you're regular. Now you're regular.
Now you got more of a reason to go watch. January 28th. Matter of fact, we should do that. We should set like a little live or something, man.
It's a tentative.
We should go.
They made you a regular and you're just fucking hiding it. I guess you're nervous. Congratulations, man.
Because I kept making Donnie laugh. I was like, Donnie Wahlberg was like, meet him.
That means,
that's not in the script. I was
that
like,
basically
I know.
Means, and this is me projecting negative energy, that means he knows and he's already put in his 2 weeks here again. I'm a regular on the show.
No need for apologies until we die.
It's a local,
We'll figure out another studio. If we got to find another studio, fine. But right now, thank you.
At the very least, they're going to need like 2 or 3 episodes.
Word.
Just to be funny per season.
Yeah.
I mean, just filler. Like,
what you got to plug, Seton?
When's this shit coming out?
Sunday? This come out Sunday.
Yeah, Sunday.
Okay, well then January 7th, Search Party Season 5. And so
it's a good show, man.
It's a good show. So I'm I got this one episode where they get into like a situation where they get hostage situation. I'm the FBI negotiator. We spend an episode me trying to get them out. And there's a fun surprise at the end. It's kind of crazy.
Look word.
And they tried to pit you niggas against each other and now you're here plugging.
They tried to crack the pool stick on us when he first got here. Yeah, your career done, Derek. Right. See here. I was like, God damn.
You cut the music, did Natalie? Right. That's good, man. It's been a good, fun show.
Yeah.
Why we trail off like this? It's crazy.
No, I was looking to see what was going on outside. That was Chrissy Mayer walking around putting it. Can she hear me? I like watching women put those coats on with the little fur hoods.
So, Seton, question for you. Was there a time you should have apologized and you didn't?
Oh, I feel like that. I guess the Lance thing, I guess I did. Oh, man.
The Lance thing. I like that that's how they're logged in his brain. The Lance
thing. The Lance situation.
I remember one, my ego got in front of me. I ever tell you that story where Dave Chappelle was at the Cellar one night, so Will gave everybody 8 minutes to just get it out, right? So as I'm on stage, I'm rocking. I'm feeling pretty good about myself. Trevor Noah comes in, bad bitch. I was like, this chick he had with him from top to bottom, just bad. And she had a sweatsuit on. That's how I knew she was bad. And then, because everybody's gearing up to watch Dave, right? So instead of killing for the crowd, I see his face, and he's not really into what the fuck I'm saying. So I was like, in the back of my mind, I'm performing. But in my head, I'm like, who the fuck this nigga think he is, man? All right, I realize Dave coming down steps. He probably on the steps now. But I'm up here right now. Nigga, laugh. Because, you know, it's about to be erased by Dave when he get on stage. So after I get off stage, I walk up to Trevor Noah and go, hey, let me get my little rocks off. Nigga, Dave coming? Shit. And I walk up. I was like, what the hell did I do that for?
Yeah, wow.
And I was like, oh. I told Keith. Keith was like, dummy.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah. I was,
You're like one of those members of Cobra Kai.
I was like, what? Like, I bucked at him. It was weird. I was like, yo. I was like, let me get my little rocks off. You nigga, I know Dave coming.
You were the dude from Top Gun that just goes. Like, what does that even mean?
Yeah. It was wild. Yeah. And I never said sorry. But I was like, the fuck was that about?
That's hilarious. I mean, I love Trevor, too, because he would have fucked you up. He could have beat the shit out of you.
Oh, Trevor can rumble?
Yeah, he can.
Yeah.
He would be better. He would, yeah. But he's also like such a 100 millionaire, so he just probably looked at you like an ant.
What?
God. Yeah. He probably looked like, huh, I wonder what that fly had to say.
That's like when homeless people yell at us on the train. You know what I mean? That was like, the equivalent of what you just did.
I'm joking. No, I'm joking. He's a heartfelt human being.
What the fuck? Like, in my mind, I'm like, why would I do that? He don't give. This nigga's walking on money. Yeah. But nah. So I regretted it. No. But I never went back to say sorry. It's like, fuck that. I just fucked up.
Yeah.
So I never said sorry.
Now you can't, because now you look bipolar. You know what I mean?
Hey, man, I'm sorry for what happened.
Hey, don't know if you remember me from 30 seconds ago. Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Fuck you, nigga. Hey, I love you. I love your work.
I had a bipolar moment like that, too. I was somewhere with Sife and Will, and these two chicks sat down. And I think Sife said I was in King of Staten Island, and the chick didn't recognize me. And then I had to explain the scene I was in. And then she said, oh, yeah, I remember that little scene. When she did this, I said, who the fuck you think you are, man?
Then I decided to be a nigga.
Yes! I decided to be a nigga. And I was like, bitch, who the fuck you think you're talking to that?
Yes.
It's like, yeah, this little, what have you done this week, huh? You been on the set before, huh? Like, I was going, I was doing the highs. I was popping. Man.
And what'd she say?
Beautiful.
She just got... Beautiful. She was like, she was like, off.
Yeah.
I start cussing her out. She start cussing at me back. Then I went, did the show, came back, and apologized for everything I just said. I looked like a psycho that night. So it was like, I was like, damn, Derek.
You should not have apologized. You were completely in the right. When somebody wants to sit down and destroy your identity, you're like, I do this. Damn. And like any other context, you babysit? You babysit. What the fuck? What other context is that appropriate? She dismissed your character and she deserved every fucking thing.
So I went up. I was like, who the fuck you think you are? And then I was like, why did I do that? And I was just
Because you're fucking have self-worth, nigga.
Yeah, and I was,
fucking like, beautiful.
And then here go my insecurity. It was a small role. I was only on screen for 15 minutes.
The fuck her.
So I was like, man, she's probably right. Why would she recognize me anyway? And I did all that and then went and apologized like an asshole.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. That means she won.
Yeah, she beat me. Yeah. She got my ass. And I was like, oh, man.
She has in her head, she's a negative garbage you've been being, and she just wanted to spread it around to
you. My retort to that anytime is like, if somebody's like, I don't remember you from that, I'm like, good, yeah, I don't want to be remembered. Like, I tell people always, I do not want you to know me. I don't want you to be famous. I don't want to be famous. I don't want to be a target. Yeah, I'll tell people that in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
I don't try to bring it up, nigga. I just be like, what? Yeah,
I didn't bring it up. Yeah. I never bring that shit up.
Yeah,
I'm like, I try to kill it.
Do you lie about your job? Like, if you got to meet civilians?
As much as I can. I mean, yeah, as much as I can. Like, I'm even like, like, I'm fighting at the gym. That's like the place where, like, they found out. They ain't find out until, like, year three. And that was only because people were walking by the window and recognized me.
That's dope. Because I saw you in there fighting in Tiger Showman 1.
Yes, exactly.
I'm headed somewhere. This motherfucker squared up with his sensei, no pads. Yeah. I'm like, oh, these niggas just belts and geese.
Yes.
And y'all was in there fucking, I'm like, that nigga's seating different.
Yeah. That will disturb anything, because I've seen that on an episode of Blue Bloods that I was on. That was the background. But Donnie can't do shit. Like, if you shoot on the street, there's going to be women. Oh, Donnie! And you're like, wow, this is a pain in the ass. You know what I mean?
The show is there. So I think you walk down the street, but like, just like when the show is there, they all know to be there for him.
But
so.
You're in the room. You're off the street doing karate, and people are banging on the window.
And it's all weird shit. It's either TV or it's even like I was doing shows in Nitty Factory. So it's like, you know, see local people. It's just a lot of people.
Yeah, because they're right around the corner.
Yeah, and then motherfuckers started becoming members because they saw, it was like shit like, you're like, okay. And like, but I don't talk about it so much where they've started to learn respect. Like, okay, he's not going to bring it up. He ain't going to talk about it. Yeah. I may bring it up. After I spar like 4 or 5 rounds, it's weird. There's this dopamine that happens where you just think
of seeing different, bro. Yeah. He showed me a video of him getting put to sleep. I was like, damn.
Oh, yeah, that was crazy.
When the sensei put him to sleep. He was like, check this out. I got knocked out. I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah, I was in L.A.
That's funny. You still got wandering kid bonding energy.
Look, I got knocked out. I was like, and he put you in the sleep on the hold, and then you went.
That's such a great intro from the wandering kid. You guys want to see something cool?
Nigga, I know. It really is.
This nigga got knocked the fuck
weird
out.
Weird as fuck. And I don't know, like, I do that a lot where I'm like, that's not a good intro. I got to step back.
Step, that's a stage. That's a problem on stage.
You want to see a dead body?
Yeah. I really be jumping there. And I'm like, ah, shit, they're not there yet. Let me see where they're at. Maybe we can get there.
We'll see a dead guy right now.
Like, hi, I'm Dave, and you are, oh, Seton. So anyway, this is me getting knocked out.
Yeah, it was wild. And he put you out. I was like, damn.
Oh, yeah, I was definitely.
You a grown man. And that grown man put you the fuck to side. I was like, yeah, this Seton, he worked
in different circles. But that helps you. I feel like that's always necessary because it helps you respect other people's space, knowing what other people are capable of.
Yep.
Like when I see people that's always like in somebody's face on the train and then they get slapped and oh, like, yeah, you didn't know that was, oh, yeah, you're
that's
living
possible.
In a world where like no one puts their hands on you. So you're not aware that this could, you know what I mean?
I used to think things were that deep. Now I'm actually taking it even deeper. Narcissism. Okay. I've been studying narcissism and personality disorders the last like year and a half now. And I'm like starting to discover there's a patterns of behavior where there's like sociopath, narcissism, psychopath, and all that shit. But narcissism is the one where it's like motherfuckers who have this patterns of they do shitty things to people and then think it's completely justified.
That's my daughter,
it's
she
your
got
daughter?
An iPhone for Christmas, and
that's
now
cool.
All she does is FaceTime.
I hear you. I love you. You don't even think about turning your phone off for a podcast. Not even. Not even like the ringer.
No buzz.
I got you. Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
But no, different levels.
Thank you.
There'll be some fucked up shit to a person.
About. Knocking out the people.
Nah, bro, we're talking about
narcissism.
Narcissism.
Oh, yeah. Narcissism.
People
these
that
niggas.
Don't. Yeah.
I'm with you. I got it.
Well, I had to pick up this book on dark psychology and like realize there's like a bunch of little tactics that these motherfuckers would do. But like this, like I guess what people, the worst thing they hate about Trump. Trump is like he like expects loyalty but gives no loyalty. That kind of emotional pattern is not like to him. It's like a cultural problem we have.
Hmm.
And we have a lot of things that we think are value and virtuous and really are just narcissistic behavior type shit. You know what I mean? Like we think about shit like we think about like a marriage in a relationship. A marriage, okay, first off, religions were not based off of actually what they're talking about. If you look at like study of religions, they're actually going against what the Bible said. The Bible, Jesus was against religions. You can start with whole thing.
He's against
religions. So if you go on that premise, the idea of marriage is an extension of religion,
okay.
Which is the idea of we're going to use this thing to control you. There is no love until you go through the church.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So therefore, keep that kind of thinking going. And this narcissistic idea. Now I'm in a relationship between a man and a wife, so all my actions are like not for me, but for some other idea that makes somebody else vaguely happy. That's like you're not serving yourself. But if you don't serve yourself, as every fucking plane airline knows, if you don't serve yourself, you're a piece of shit. You're useless. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so it's like the whole basic premise seems to leave me like just useless. And I'm it's narcessism. I'm just go ahead. I'm sorry. Can we go on?
That's dope.
No, I was just making a dumb comparison that grass doesn't do that. Like grass will never help another blade of grass to be like, hey, come on, grass just consumes and grows. It does what it's supposed to do.
Or even just animals. Animals, a mom will eat first and then give the food to the motherfuckers first.
Yeah.
Like even like the bird, she still has a motherfucker in her mouth.
Tell
me a couple bits ain't going in. All right.
Yeah. She swallowed a little bit of that shit before she.
I need some energy to fly to you niggas. Come on, guys.
Funny. I like that a lot.
Right.
I like that a lot.
Right,
that's
but I mean,
so silly.
I'll take it to a. I take it to a small level, relationships, man. I've been in a lot of relationships. I've apologized a lot, and I've stopped doing that recently because I've discovered that a lot of them were not fair situations, which goes back to family. But one is like a woman will make you mad, piss you the fuck off, and you don't want to flip out on her. So what do? You get up, you leave the room, take some space, which is a responsible thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are two types of women. Women go, thank you for taking that space. That's very responsible.
Well, another one.
But then there's girls out there who will be like, why are you ignoring me? Why are you doing this? If you have a problem, you should be telling me first that you have a problem. Then you can go do that. Make me feel better first before you make yourself feel better. You know, just let me know so I know we're still cool. And I'm like, and I used to follow that script a lot. Like, okay, I'm pissed off. But you realize that's a very destructive way to think that. So you're telling me, you expected me to make you sure you do something fucked up. I got to make you sure you feel better before I can make myself feel better, which is not only unfair, impossible.
Uh-huh.
It's physically impossible to try to make somebody feel better when you feel like shit. It's impossible. It's not scientifically.
My ex broke up with me, cried, and then asked me for a hug to make her feel better. And I'm like, are you out of your fucking mind?
Harsh.
And she's like, what? I can't ask you for a hug.
No.
I'm like, you just broke up with me. Like, no, you don't get to ask me to console you. after you just broke up with me.
I want to be full of shit, and I want to be justified in my full of shit, which is not a woman thing. That is
part of the sex. It's a woman-man thing. And you just got to start to be aware of, like, who am I, what am I worth? Like, Derek is like, I should be channeled through motherfuckers. Like, do not let a motherfucker put you in a motherfucking position. Like, put your fucking self-worth down. Fucking no, never. Yeah. Fuck that shit. If somebody's trying to put your self-worth down, they are not a good person trying to get something good from you. Mm. If somebody's trying to make you feel guilty, they are not a good person trying to do something good for you. Somebody's trying to make you feel sad and it's pitiful. They are not a person that's your friend trying to make. I don't give a fuck what. I want to make sure. If somebody's trying to have the guise of make it like try the guise of I'm worried for you. So I'm going to say, you know, you drink a lot. You ain't shit. You ain't doing this. You ain't just. But I'm worried for you. That person is a psychopath. Okay. Get rid of that motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't understand his
that's
personality.
Interesting that you say that. Yeah, because even now, as I'm getting older, like things that I see in other people's lives. Like where you're like, you might not agree. You're just like, hey, man, I hope that you get that. Because I know what it was like to struggle with that on my end right. or something similar to that. And it's now more of a level of empathy. But love, and it's just something like, hey, if you need help, I got you. I really don't want to get involved. I hope you figure it out, though. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, absolutely. And yeah. Exactly. So I remember I got into a fight with one comic. I'm not going to name his name, but he was funny. This is one thing. Did I apologize? No, I did not apologize.
Word.
Words. I don't think I did. That's because dark. I think in my head, I was like, yeah, because, okay, all right, comic, we mutually know. He was smoking cigars a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Suddenly stopped smoking cigars.
Okay.
And it was late night, 3 a.m, and he says, I stopped smoking cigars. And I'm like, thank God, because I thought you were going to die, nigga. That was crazy. And he was like, man, I know you could fuck me up. But that was some bitch-ass shit to say.
Wow.
Bitch-ass. You should have told me back then that I was smoking cigars. Why you fucking tell me that? I'm like. And I took a step back because I was like, I've never been confronted in a situation where I could fuck a dude up, but he's doing this. So I'm like, okay. So he's put me in the position of if I fuck him up, he still wins the argument.
Yeah,
okay, so
he set it up.
He set it up. I'm like, oh, clever, nigga. So now I'm sitting back on this. How do
being
I fucking
deal
with this?
Being a bitch is a science.
It's a science.
It's a science.
But I couldn't help it. I was just like, nigga, like, first off.
Bitchology.
Bitchology.
Yeah.
Bitchology. So I just, my response was like, yo, all right, first off, you're a grown-ass man. And I'm like, second of all, we all got fucking demons in here. I don't know if you want to kill yourself or not, nigga. I'm not
right,
your mom.
Right,
and also, mainly.
I'm not his brother, sir.
And also, who the fuck doesn't know smoking cigars every day? It's going to kill you. Who is in this language? How did you get this far?
Right.
Right. Right. If you don't know this.
Yo, you just described it. That is the same way I feel. This is like a dumb, silly thing, but it's the same way I feel about Spanish wet floor signs in the bathroom of like a movie theater. Mm-hmm. How did you make it this far without speaking English?
True. True.
Nigga, you are in the bathroom of a movie theater. Like, you speak English, nigga. Why do we have piso mojado? Like, you know, like, no. It's not necessary.
True.
You know.
True. You know what, though? I ain't gonna lie. One time I went to a restaurant in the middle of California, in the middle of L.A. It was the middle of fucking L.A. Strip. I went inside, and they went to the bathroom, and they had Spanish names. But not the ones I would recognize for boy or girl. It was like some abstract name, you know, like they would say gentleman as opposed to men,
yeah,
you know, that whole
yeah,
shit. But I
yeah.
think it was in whatever Spanish. So I stood there for a minute. They didn't have symbols.
No pictures. No skirt, no legs.
I stood there for like 10 minutes. Like, I don't know what
triangle legs.
Yeah. And I don't think my phone.
I know. It's so simple.
Would you be embarrassed if you got caught in the ladies' room now? Like,
nah.
Have y'all used the ladies' room like in the past 5 years?
We was at a strip club. Goddamn strippers was walking in the men's room exchanging their money with the bathroom nigga Austin.
I would argue that's a different situation.
I was like.
I would argue that maybe it's maybe a different, little different.
I was like, shit. It was, girl, they was walking in and out of the men's room.
I think the Me Too rules are laxed. Yeah. some Texas? Situations.
Well, that's a terrible bitch.
I don't know, man, because we ain't get to touch nothing in Texas, man.
They wouldn't let us.
We threw a lot of money right.
Because
I mean,
they
it
was serving liquor. They
was
serving liquor.
We might as well have been background actors in there. It was just a lot of,
couldn't smack. They could come up on me. Like, she'd take my hand, put it on it. I was like, all right, but I couldn't physically do it because they were serving alcohol. And I was like, fuck, man.
Isn't that weird how they make sure they get those rules explained to you when you're coming in?
I was like, damn.
Yeah, I can't get my dick hard unless I know a woman really wants me.
Right?
Yeah, so it's one of those things. Like,
that's why I only fall in love for an hour. That's why I only spend $200 tops in a fucking strip club if we going.
Quagmire, yeah.
I just need to be desired. I can't be competing.
It's called a quagmire.
Yeah. I just realized, like, it's weird, it's personal, but I never really, like, it took me a long time to start coming from head And I realized that's because I was always getting head under like duress. Like it was always like sneaking.
Yeah. Oh,
so like
shit.
You're always like, you're used to like, if someone's giving you head, you're kind of like, who's coming on the lookout? I've never, it was very late in my life before I got like relaxed head. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, no, I just was panic attack. I'm always just giving and shit. You know what I mean? Because I like, you know, like I think I met a lot of, I think, you know, when you first start getting pussy, you're so stressed out to get the motherfucker. So once you get it, I was coming like, you know, like a machine gun.
Yeah,
like, so you got to learn different tricks to not come. So you know what I'm saying? That whole shit.
You've already done everything and you still have to be good in bed. Why do men have to be good in bed?
Still got
to
do it.
For emotional control.
Emotional control, and you don't get that news report about your
emotional control over her or emotional control over yourself?
If you control emotions, you control. I didn't understand that. I mean, it's just how life works. I mean, that's what most men don't understand when they fall in love with a woman. If she controls your emotions, nigga, you're controlled. You're done.
Yeah, I know the Greeks were saying that. I recently learned that's why they put small penises on all the statues. Hmm. It was to symbolize, like, an engorged penis was a symbol of, like, yeah, you have no control. You're simple-minded. You still give in. So, like, for them to sculpt themselves with teeny tiny penis is like, look at how in control of my emotions I am. You know
because
what I mean?
Because your like, dick is
right.
Because all your blood is in your brain thinking about big moves.
Isn't that such a beta male mind trick? Like, hey, look at me. I don't jump on every female that I see. Like, you know what I mean? And just tricking all the alphas into being like, you know, to see a big, strong man with a little dick. And like, I should aspire to be like him. Like, no.
Yeah. No. No. Nah.
This episode was absolutely fun.
It was
and
great
ridiculous. Seton, tell the people where they can find you online if they're looking for you.
SetonSmith.com. Go to that website. I got like mad videos coming out January. Mad weird shit. It's going to be fun. And then, you know, going to be touring this year, I think. I mean, I think I'll be touring, but maybe I'll do a movie. I'm not sure. But I'm definitely going to be touring for a little bit. A little bit. Only because I'm opening it for Mulaney. So, you know, those dates, I think are, you know, those dates. So it's going to be fun, though. That's going to be fun.
You sound like you're not sure whether they're going to happen or not. Is that what that is?
Well, I mean, COVID's weird.
COVID is weird.
The career shit is weird, too.
Career weird?
You know, career's like, oh, like, I'm going to do all this. Well, now I got to do this movie. Oh, that's over. It's one of those, like,
yeah,
oh,
you got to shut shit
it's
down.
It's on you. I thought you were making the thing of, like look, Mulaney's been out of control lately. I don't know.
No. He's awesome. He's one of the best human beings ever. He's got my back. I get honored to be he's going to be doing an arena tour this next year.
Word.
And I'm honored to be like, man, I can open up for this dude. I cannot wait. Oh, thank God.
Okay. I thought this was one of them situations. Yeah. I thought maybe Mulaney was an animal behind the scenes. Just an absolute monster.
Oh, like, yeah. That's some, like on some Pablo Francisco shit. Like somebody got to watch this coked up
ass. Like the way they make
nigga.
Mickey Mouse crazy on South Park and he's slapping.
Smacking the fucking Jonas Brothers, that shit was crazy, bruh.
That actually is much more real. That's what Disney is. Disney's the biggest.
Oh, yeah. Anytime when you get children to do shit in unison, like, kids are not, they don't have that much focus, nigga. Kids don't naturally dance and sing together. I don't know if you've ever seen a room full of children freely
weird.
Do their thing.
Yeah. It's a lot. It's a lot of chaos. In a free room of kids, chaos. We're all doing something
do
crazy.
Do you understand what you have to do to get kids to sit still? Like, you got to yell. So, like, there's no way to get them to learn steps. There's a lot of yelling, a lot of threats.
I mean, a lot of it. I mean, I even get scared of their, like, what's the other shit? I'm sorry, I'm thinking, Disney owns about 90% of the media, though, too. That's the more scarier part to me.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're
they
like,
got a lot of
numbers. They own it all. Like, it's one of those,
got a lot of it.
Them and, like, the Indians. That's it. anyways, man, we done. I'm hungry. We gone?
Yeah, we're done. Derek, say goodbye to the people.
Hey, good night, y'all. The Great Boy on Instagram, as always. Keep watching Last Little Genius on HBO Max, and now they're playing the reruns
fuck
on TBS. Yeah, so,
fuck shit. Yeah. All HBO right. Max, Natalie, say goodbye to the people.
Bye, everyone. Check bye. Out... Dylan's not here. Doped Up and Dying. It's a show that if you like hearing my voice, you can hear it on there.
Okay. All right.
That's nice.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's the only show that I actually participate in.
So, yeah. Everyone leave the comments. Be happy that Dylan wasn't here. It was a Dylan-less episode.
Dylan-less.
We know you guys love that. That's been a great episode. No need for apologies. Good night, everybody. Peace.
Good night.
Bye, y'all.